Wow, what a great weekend we had last weekend, Good Friday service and Easter Sunday. I want to thank everybody for your involvement, for inviting people. Over the weekend, we had about 1,500 people enter into those two services, which was so exciting, so fantastic. And I want to give a big shout out to the Bethel Church worship team. These folks all last week, they worked so hard between all the rehearsals and then being here leading us in worship. And Sunday after Sunday, man, we get such good quality worship and music here at Bethel Church. I am so, so thankful. Let's give it up for the Bethel worship team right there in your home. Okay, clap. Yes. And then over the weekend, in fact, the last few weekends, we've had a number of you that have given your life to Jesus Christ, and you've let us know that. And I want to say a big just welcome to the family of God to you. And I want to tell you about an important next step for you. We are offering an online group called Next Steps, and this will begin on May 5th. And you can get into that group by going to the MedfordBethel.com website and then joining under events. You'll find Next Steps there. And you're going to learn in that group things like how to understand your Bible, how to have a prayer life, just some of those basic things of growing in your relationship with the Lord. So whether you're a brand new Christian or you've recently recommitted your life to the Lord, this would be a really important Next Steps starting on May 5th. I want to invite you now to turn with me in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8. Matthew, chapter 8. And I want to encourage you, even though you're watching from home, to actually open up your Bible or your device. And I also encourage you to take notes. You know, it would just be so easy sitting at home to start treating these gatherings, these online gatherings, like you're watching TV. And I'm sure it feels that way to you. But I want to encourage you as much as possible to don't treat it like you're watching TV. You know, get out the bowl of popcorn, or maybe it's Sunday morning you're having your Captain Crunch. I don't know. No shame if you're eating popcorn or Captain Crunch right now. But I want to really encourage you to don't treat the service like a TV show, but treat it like you're in a worship gathering. So actually engage in the Bible, get involved in the worship, enter into prayer, and of course, give in the offering. And I want to encourage you as much as you can at home, make it like a church experience, all right? So we're starting a new series called I Got This. And the whole theme of this series is that God is good, and because He is good, He is going to give us whatever we need to get through what we're going through, all right? So while God doesn't always get us out of our problems, sometimes He does that, but usually He's going to get us through His problems, so our problems. So we're going to be talking about things like moving from anxiety into peace, moving from depression to joy, moving from confusion to clarity, moving from addiction to freedom. So I'm going to be talking about all of these things. And I want to encourage you, next week specifically, we're going to be talking about anxiety. And it's a huge issue in our nation, but it's especially big right now. So you're going to want to be a part of next week's service, and you're going to want to invite people to hear the message next week and have a great worship time again. Now, the passage we're going to read this morning from Matthew 8 takes place early on in Jesus' ministry. He has just recently called His disciples. In fact, they're really just getting to know Jesus at this point. He's been traveling around the area of the Sea of Galilee, ministering. He's been doing a number of miracles. Large crowds have been gathering around to hear His teaching. And He's done a lot of powerful things. He has healed a leper of leprosy. He's healed a paralyzed servant of a centurion, Roman centurion, in the town of Capernaum, which was Peter's hometown. The Bible says He did a number of miracles there, including healing Peter's mother-in-law. And so all of this has been taking place. And then after all of this, Jesus tells His disciples that they're going to cross over by boat to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And then this happens, beginning at verse 23. Then He got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Okay, now I would imagine that this morning in our listening audience, there may possibly be a handful of you that can really relate physically to this, that you were actually on the open water in a boat at some point in your life, and you've got a story about how a storm came up and how afraid you were. There might be a handful of you that have actually gone through that, but I'm guessing the majority of us haven't had that happen to us, but we can all relate to the story in this way. Every one of us have had storms that have come up in our lives. So I want to use this story as kind of an illustration of the fact that storms happen in every person's life. So use this storm as kind of a picture of the storms that we may encounter. And I want to draw your attention to two things that the Bible tells us about this storm. One of the things that we learn about this storm is that it was sudden, and then we also learn that it was severe. It was sudden, and it was severe. So in your Bible, verse 24, it says, suddenly, a furious storm came up. Suddenly. One of the big things that I believe that we've all learned in the past few weeks is how suddenly things can change in life. I mean, one minute we're reading about this mysterious virus that we've never heard of that's over in China, and the next thing we know, it's here in the United States, and then it's in our state, and then it's in our community. And then large groups are canceled, schools are closed down, our college students are coming home, businesses are closing, and we're all walking around wearing masks and gloves, and it all seemed to happen just overnight. Everything changed, and the whole thing is kind of a stunning thing. It's kind of a punch to the gut. It feels so unexpected. So we've all been reminded in the last few weeks just how fast things can change in life. Now, every one of us, from time to time, we're going to have a suddenly happen in our life. Maybe it's a sudden accident, a notice from work, a knock on the door, a Dear John letter, an appearance of a lump that you didn't have before. And just like that, your whole world is turned upside down. It happens so suddenly. It's a sudden storm that hits your life and you're not sure what to do next, right? So this storm happened suddenly. The other thing that the Bible tells us about this storm is that it was severe. It was severe. The NIV uses the word furious. It was a furious storm. The English Standard Version says it was great, a great storm. The New Living Translation says fierce. It was a fierce storm. So in other words, guys, this was no spring shower, right? The waves are breaking over the top of the boat. The Gospel of Mark also tells us that the boat is actually filling up with water. The disciples are crying out, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." The Gospel of Mark also includes that they said, "Lord, don't you care?" Now, here's the deal. Most of these guys, they're professional fishermen. They've done this all their lives. And in fact, their fathers were probably fishermen too, meaning that they've been going out on this lake and they've been doing this ever since they were just wee little lads that could hold a Fisher Price fishing pole, right? They've been doing this all their lives. Now, I will have to just personally admit that it would not take that big of a storm for me to be crying out, "Lord, save us, we're gonna drown." But these guys are professional fishermen, so when they cry out, this is the real deal. This is a severe storm, okay? Now, here's the really, really weird part. While all this is going on, all of this storm, the disciples crying out, Jesus is sound asleep. I mean, he's just sleeping. He's just taking a nap there, okay? And you just want to go, what? How could Jesus be sleeping through all of this? Well, the fact that Jesus was sleeping tells us a couple of things about Jesus. First of all, it tells us that he was tired, okay? He had just been going through so much and all of these ministry things. He's exhausted. He's tired. And one of the things that we should always remember about Jesus is that even though he is God, he laid his godhood aside and became human so that Jesus on the earth was fully human and at the same time fully God. So this human side of Jesus is just exhausted. He was tired. When Jesus was on the earth, he fully experienced our humanity. He got hungry. He got tired. He experienced pain. He experienced stress, anger, and even temptation. Jesus went through all of this, all right? So that's why he's asleep, because he's tired. But a second reason, the reason Jesus was able to sleep, is that he had peace. He had peace. He's sleeping because he's tired, but he's also able to sleep because he has peace. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 says this. It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding or surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So this is a picture of that verse. It's the peace of God that passes understanding. Jesus had the peace of God, and the disciples couldn't understand how. How could you be sleeping during this whole thing? So, where does this peace come from? Well, Jesus had this kind of peace, this peace that surpasses understanding because of his relationship with his Father. He had confidence in the Father. That's where it comes from. In 2018, a couple of our Bethel Church family members, Dory and Woody Wickham, went through the storm of their lives when they lost everything in the Camp Fire that destroyed a couple of towns in Northern California, including the town of Paradise, California, where the Wickhams lived. So this past week, I had a talk with Dory and Woody, and right now we're going to go to an interview that I had with them. Woody and Dory, thank you so much for being willing to share your story with us. Why don't you, first of all, take us back to that day when you had to leave your home?
Okay. On November 8th, 2018, got up early to let the dog out, like every other day, and my neighbor was outside, and he pointed over my head, over my house, and he goes, hey, look, there's a puff of smoke. And I looked up, and sure enough, there was a small puff of smoke, and we could tell it was on the other side of the canyon. And so I said to him, we better watch that. And he goes, yeah, we better watch that. And I went back in the house, went back to sleep, and Dory called me an hour later, and she said, the parking lot at my work is already on fire. I'm coming home. We need to get out of here. And so she shows up. And I walk outside, and it was raining embers like I had never seen before. It was just so fast it happened.
So fast.
And I said, we got to go. We got to go. So she got in her car, and I got in my truck because I thought we were going to be able to go get our camp trailer. And so we took off, and when we pulled out of our complex, we ran into gridlock, and we were stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic.
For 4 hours.
And the fire went ahead of us.
Mm-hmm. Passed us up.
It passed us up. And then the explosions of all of the propane tanks started happening. Because there's no natural gas up there, everybody has a propane tank. And so we must have heard more than 100 explosions, like we were in a war zone. And we were stuck. And the road that we were on, I jumped out of my truck. I ran back to Dory's car. I said, I'm going to turn you around, get out, go down Clark Road, and I'll follow you. And so I turned her around. And as I turned her around, I jumped in my truck. But as I was jumping in my truck, I see one of my neighbors in a Winnebago. And I said, let me turn you around. And she said, no, no, I think I'm okay. And I said, it's bumper to bumper traffic. I've been here for over an hour and moved maybe 20 feet. And I said, let me turn you around and we'll get out of here. And then me and Dory got separated. And they took her down one direction. They took me down another direction. And then for 4 hours, we were in gridlock, stuck. And fire was just all around us and explosions like you wouldn't believe.
And it turned dark like midnight.
Yeah, it was crazy.
What a terrible experience. What were some of the things that were going through your guys' minds when all of this was happening around you?
I was, when I was bumper to bumper in darkness, my girlfriend called me and she's like, Dory, I'm seeing this from Chico. And she said it looked like a bomb, an atomic bomb had exploded from where she was at. And she's like, how are you? And I said, I'm okay. I'm just waiting and praying. And she's like, you're in shock. And I said, I have so much peace. It was so crazy how much peace I had that I was going to be fine. And there was a lady next to me in her car, a little old lady, and she was crying. And I rolled down my window and I said, it's going to be okay. We're going to be okay. And she's like, I'm so scared. And I said, we're going to be okay. And I just felt so much peace. And my girlfriend's like, you're just in shock. Oh. But I wasn't. I knew God was holding us.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What are some things, obviously, you know, the Lord was showing you that he was there for you. What, just looking back at the whole thing now, what do you feel like are some of the things that the Lord showed you about who he is and about your relationship with him?
Well, after the fire, so many cool things started happening. I mean, the love just was outpoured to us in everywhere we looked. I mean, we weren't expecting that. I never thought that anything like that would have happened, but everybody just came out of the woodwork and just was so kind and so blessed and blessing us. And we ended up about a month later getting to go back to paradise, and a couple friends of ours that didn't lose their house, they had a Bible study up there. And the first question that our Bible study leader asked us, what did you experience? What have you taken away from this fire? And I said, God is so kind. He was so kind during the whole fire. It sounds crazy to say that, but was so kind and so loving and so caring and so compassionate. Mm-hmm. And that will stick with me forever.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And for me, he was just so present. He never left. He was always there. And every door that opened, everything that happened from that fire on, and I mean, we lost our home, my job, and all of our things in 2 hours, but he replenished it all step by step. He was just always present.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure we have people that are watching today that are going through their own personal storms in their life, and maybe there are things that have been maybe accumulating over time, but maybe some of them, their world just got turned upside down overnight, especially in the time that we're living in. And so I would just like you to share from your heart, what would you share with someone who is going through their own personal storm right now?
Well, the thing that keeps going through my mind even today. And a good scripture is in Romans 2:4. Paul says, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. And he's not mad at us. He loves us. He's concerned about us so much, and he's kind. He wants the best for us. And so in every avenue, it might look like a crazy storm is on your horizon, but he's bigger than the storm. And hold on, because his kindness is going to get you through.
Mm-hmm. And I would say just trust. Just trust like a child trusts his parents. And they say, it's going to be okay. We know what's on the other side. It's going to be okay. Just trust that, because he's our dad. He knows that we're going to be okay.
Wow. Great, great words. Now, I have to say, and I know this is so incredibly selfish of me, but I have to say that it's because of that fire, in a way, that you guys wound up at Bethel Church.
Yeah.
I'm really thankful for
yep. Yeah, we as well. I mean, yes. We were so blown away when we looked at the house that we're living in. We looked at one house, and then while we were up here, we said, we need to go find a church. And the one and only church that we went to was Bethel.
Yeah.
And you were sharing a sermon, and you said, before the sermon, I just really feel impressed. And it was Psalms 1. And you said, Psalms 1 says you'll be planted by a river and there'll be fruit trees. And everything that you said that wasn't in your message, just out of the scripture, God was telling us, mm-hmm. We live right by the Klamath River. There's fruit trees where we live. We've been blessed.
Yeah.
I might just be stammering in my voice, but we've been blessed.
Wow. Huge. Wow. Well, Woody, Dory, thank you again so much for sharing your story. I know it's going to be a blessing to many, many people. All right. Lord bless you guys.
Thank you.
So what a great testimony of God's sustaining strength right in the middle of a storm. So I want to just close our time together by giving you a couple of takeaways from this great story in Matthew chapter 8. Two things to remember when you're going through a storm. And the first one is this. Number one, anchor your mind and heart in the promises of God. Anchor your mind and heart in the promises of God. The reality is we can't keep these storms from happening, but we can choose how we're going to respond to those storms. Now, the disciples didn't do so well, according to Jesus. Jesus says to them in verse 26, Jesus replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. So we can respond in a storm. We can respond with faith, or we're going to respond with fear. Fear produces stress and confusion, and faith produces confidence and power. So we want to respond with faith. Now, faith, on the one hand, is a gift from God. On the other hand, we can develop faith in our lives. We can build up our faith muscles, if you will. So it's so important that we get anchored in the Word of God, and we let the Word of God build up our faith muscles, okay? So important. I want to encourage you during this time, just be in the Word of God every day and let the Word of God guard your heart and your mind and even in your words. It's so important when we're going through a storm to guard what we're thinking and guard what we're saying. So think about a couple of the things that the disciples were saying. They were saying, "We're going to drown." Well, no, actually they weren't going to drown. "You don't care." Well, actually, Jesus did care. So your mind is going to try to take you even deeper into the storm. And it's your faith in God and your trust in his promises that's going to get you through the storm. So saturate your heart and mind with the promises of God's word. And then number two, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus in the midst of the storm. There's another great miracle that takes place on the Sea of Galilee a few chapters later in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 14. This time, the disciples are out on a boat on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is not with them, but then Jesus comes walking to them, walking on the water, walking on the water. So he's like paddleboarding without the paddle. Or without the board, right? And the disciples see him, they're amazed. And then Peter, and this was typical of Peter, Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, let me come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. The Bible says, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him." So Peter is there. He's doing great. He's walking on the water. But then something happens. He begins to doubt. He begins to doubt. And why does he begin to doubt? Because he takes his eyes off of Jesus and he gets his eyes on the storm, on the wind, on the waves. So when you're in a storm, keep focusing. Keep your life focused on Jesus. So in this time, I would say that means make sure you're participating in the online services. Take time every single day to spend with the Lord. Have prayer. Keep focusing. Keep focusing. Keep talking about Jesus. Let your heart and mind be focused on Him, all right? And as you focus on Jesus, He's going to get you through the storm. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1 says, "Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith." So getting through means keeping our eyes on Jesus. Okay, I'm going to give you one more thing from this great, great story in Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to ask the worship team to join me as we prepare to close out the service. One more thing I want you to see. This is so important, all right? The very last verse that we read this morning, verse 27, after all this has happened, after they saw Jesus speak to the storm and the storm completely calms down, it says, "The men were amazed." Now keep in mind, they're just getting to know Jesus. "The men were amazed and asked, 'What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him.'" All right, so the disciples learned something new about Jesus out there on the water that day. The disciples learned something about Jesus that they didn't know before. And I would go as far as to say this, and this is important. The disciples learned something about Jesus that they wouldn't have known without the storm. Wow. They learned something about Jesus they would have never learned without the storm. And I want you to know, when you go through a storm, you're going to learn things about Jesus that maybe you never knew before. Maybe you thought about them. Maybe you heard a sermon about them. Maybe you even read about them. Maybe even affirmed them. But when you go through the storm and you really need Jesus to come through, you're going to learn things about Jesus that you never knew before. You're going to learn that Jesus really is the promise keeper. You're going to learn that Jesus really is the way maker. That Jesus is our Savior, that He's your provider, that He's your healer. You're going to learn that Jesus is your peace. All of the things that you sung about and you've heard preached about and you've talked about and learned in Sunday school, you're going to learn those things about Jesus, because in the midst of the storm, Jesus is going to show up and He's going to show you things about Himself that you'd heard, but now you're going to know them for yourself. You're going to know them from your heart, that in the midst of the storm, He is always there, and He is the one with authority that speaks to those storms, and He speaks peace into that storm. He speaks life where there's been death. And so I want to encourage you today, church, in the midst of every storm you go through, remember, Jesus is there. He's going to show you things. He's going to teach you things. He's going to bless you. He's going to walk with you. He's going to get you through every single storm. You know, as I was thinking about this and preparing for this message and thinking about the authority that Jesus demonstrated when he spoke to the storm and stopped the storm, I went to Psalm 89 and verse 9. Psalm 89, verse 9. This is a prophetic word written hundreds of years before Jesus did this miracle. It says, "You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them." What a powerful, powerful thing. And it's an affirmation that Jesus was no ordinary man, that he was God, because this scripture is talking about God, and yet it's fulfilled in Jesus on the Sea of Galilee that day. You rule over the surging sea, and when its waves mount up, you still them. And so I just want to pray for you today, that if you're in the midst of a storm, I want you to know Jesus is with you. Psalm 46 verse 1 says that God is a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. Now, I'm sure in the time that we're living in right now, some of you, you're just kind of feeling like you're sailing through it and you're just doing great. For the majority of us, probably, we kind of feel like, man, it's a struggle, it's a trial, but God's helping me, I'm getting through it. Some of you this morning, maybe you feel like you're just at the breaking point. I mean, you feel like you're at the end of your rope, and you can relate to the disciples crying out, "Lord, we're gonna drown." Maybe you feel like you're drowning right now. I want you to know, Jesus is right there with you. He's right there with you. He has not left you. He has not forsaken you. He's going to get you through the storm that you're in right now. And so I want to pray with you right now this morning. I want to pray for the peace of God that passes understanding. And I'm going to pray that you encounter Jesus perhaps in a way that you've never known him before. So I want to pray for you. Before we pray for that, though, I want to give this invitation. If you're watching this message and you've not given your life to Jesus, or you haven't been walking with the Lord, perhaps at some point in your life you were, but you know today that you're not, this would be the perfect opportunity for you to recommit your life to Christ or give your life to Jesus for the first time if you've never have. I want you to know that the Lord loves you so much and he's waiting with open arms. And so I want to pray for you right now. If you want to give your life to Christ or recommit your life to Jesus, would you bow your heart with me before the Lord right now? Father, I thank you for your great love. I thank you, Lord, that you never do leave us or forsake us. And no matter how big the storm might be, how severe, how serious the storm is, how suddenly it came up, I thank you, Lord, that you are always there for us. Lord, I just want to pray right now for those that haven't been walking with you, God, that there would just be a turning in their heart right now to come back to you. Now, if this applies to you right now, I'd like you to just pray this prayer in your heart with me. Lord Jesus, I bring you my life this morning. God, I need you. I need you. Lord, I'm sorry that I've been trying to do this thing my way. I ask for your forgiveness. Forgive my sins. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on a cross for me, for my sins. I believe that you have risen from the dead and that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords. And so right now, Lord, I open my heart and life to you. And I want you to not only be the King of kings and Lord of lords of the universe, I want you to be the King of kings and Lord of lords in my life. I surrender my life to you and I invite you to come into my heart today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And now, Lord, I pray, God, for those that are in the midst of the storm. I pray your peace that passes understanding over their hearts this morning. I pray your grace to carry them through. God, I pray that they will encounter you as not a God of history, but of the living God, a living God. that's with us here and with us now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.